And when you make that stuff, it just feels so good because it's in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know that they should have made that shot, but I took it away from you. And it just makes you feel like so good, so powerful. It just really gets me going.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the best position in sports, and I am, of course, referring to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, it's my job to track down all of the best goalies in our sport at our position and interview them and find out what makes them so great. And hopefully we can tease out some mental mindsets, some drills, some tactics, some techniques that you can use to level up your own lacrosse goalie game. I know in chatting with these college goalies, with these pro goalies, even with the high school goalies, I always learn a thing or two with each conversation. And of course, they're tons of fun. There's nothing more that I like doing than talking lacrosse goalie for an hour. My guest on the show this week is Rachel Costello from Concordia Ann Arbor, a school in the NAIA. A lot of parents want to know about the NAIA, what it's all about, an alternative to the NCAA, which so many parents have heard about. I usually focus on Division I NCAA goalies, but now we dip into an NAIA and talk about what life is like at that school and why it was a great fit for Rachel Costello. She's also a very tall goalie. She's a six-footer as a woman. And so if you are a tall female goalie, Rachel would be a great goalie to model your game after. And we talk about that. We talk about working with the 6x6 Goalie Academy, which is, of course, Coach Brad Giggs, friend of the program. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this episode with Rachel Costello. Last week, we wrapped up the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 7, and if you missed it, I gotta say this, it was electrifying. 5 days of nonstop content about every corner of the lacrosse goalie universe. We covered things like the proper save techniques for more consistency, building that bulletproof mindset and that mental game, simple hacks to win games, recruiting tips to get into a great college. We talked about school and life balance. We talked about how to communicate with your defenders. We talked about awesome tips and drills to help you clear the ball. And drills. We covered so many drills and really everything in between. A lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads said this. This was from Heather Hagen. She said, my 2027 son, Jace, is participating in the summit. And wow, just wow. The amount of info slash knowledge him and I have gained is incredible. Every goalie should go through this. 100% agree, Heather and Jace. That's exactly why I brought 20 of the best goalie coaches in the world together for this amazing event. If you missed out on it, you can still grab the VIP pass, laxgoalierat.com/VIP. That gives you lifetime access to all of the videos. You've got a slim window of opportunity to grab that VIP pass. It's going to go up in price soon. Here's what one goalie mom told me over the weekend. She said, my daughter, 2025, was away at camp during the summit. So I purchased the VIP pass, and she's watching the sessions now that she's back in town. Just wanted to let you know how incredibly helpful all these sessions have been to me as a parent, and I know they will be even more valuable to her in the goal. She's starting with the summer tournament prep video, getting ready for her tourney this weekend in Chattanooga. That was Tim Cassie. He did a tips for summer tournaments for goalies and parents. Amazing session. You can download all those videos if you get the VIP pass. Watch them on the car. Watch them on the plane ride. It's awesome stuff. Once again, grab that VIP pass available for a limited time. LaxGoalierat.com/VIP. I guarantee you the best value you're going to get for lacrosse goalie coaching. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP. I'm super excited to welcome my next guest to the show, Rachel Costello, first ever NAIA goalie that I've had on the show. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Before we get into the NAIA and your story, I'd love to hear where it all begins. Do you remember the first time you jumped into goal?
Yeah, it was actually, I had played attack in fourth grade, and my dad was a lacrosse coach all throughout my life. So I always was around lacrosse, going to his games and stuff like that. So I actually played attack in fourth grade, and I really liked it. I liked the game of lacrosse, and my club team didn't have a goalie. So we kind of went round robin there, and I was like, I'll be goalie. So I jumped in the cage I didn't even have a practice. It was a game. And I jumped in the cage for the game, and I had all these pads on, and like, I was so small and they were so big, but I jumped in and I made like 7 saves. And I just loved the feeling of making those saves and feeling like I did well for my team. And so from that point on, I just stuck with it and trained, and I never looked back once I jumped in the first game.
Love it. A little trial by fire there, huh? Just throw you right in, make some saves, and that's it. So really, after that first game, you were hooked as a lacrosse player.
I was. Yeah. I had a couple parents come up to me after that first game, and they said, will you please be the goalie for our team? Because I don't know what was going through my head or what happened. I just tried to get in front of the ball and hit my body and, you know, shook it off and got the next one. And my dad had said that I just did really well, and I felt way better making a save than I ever did scoring a goal. So I just really liked it way better.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned you go into your dad's game. Was he playing in like a men's league or like, where did you guys grow up, and where did he play?
He was a coach. So he coached at Plymouth Canton, which is the big high school in my area. So he coached there for a while I was just a little toddler running around, throwing the balls on the end lines and stuff like that. And then he ended up going to coach at Green Hills, which is a private school in Ann Arbor. So I went to all of their games, and he did these, once I got into the goalie position, he did these winter clinics with his goalies there in the gym. So I would get all the high school guys who would show up, shoot on me. And so it was a really good experience having my dad as a coach for all of my years.
Oh yeah, I bet. I mean, there's a lot of lacrosse goalie moms and dads who are just getting started. Like, you know, they never played the game, and now their kid's like, hey, I'm the goalie. And they're like, hey, well, what do I do? Like, I have no idea how to train that. And you here you've got your dad, you know, who's not only a lacrosse player, he's a coach and puts on these, and he's a goalie, right?
He was not, he played attack.
Okay. He played attack,
but then he became a coach, and then he became a goalie coach because, I mean, kind of similar. I became a goalie. He became a goalie coach.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of learning and digging and found a bunch of stuff and was able to coach me from there on.
What were some of those early lessons that he taught you? Do you remember?
He had this, I don't even remember what the DVD was, but he bought a DVD and we sat on the couch and we played the DVD, and my dad wrote all of the notes, like all the different drills from that. I remember one was the drill that we did in a gym where I would face the wall and he'd be behind me and throw the ball at the wall. And then I would react to that. We also did a footwork drill. So, cause I always had the problem of not moving my feet as a kid. So we did the footwork drill where he would like roll balls at my feet and I'd have to step and move to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like some of the first ones I remember.
I still do that mystery. I call it the mystery shot drill where they face the wall and you have to throw it against the wall. It's a great drill.
It's a great drill.
I wonder what DVD that was.
I think it was like Goalie Summit or something like that. I could probably call him and ask.
Yeah. After the interview, give him a call and we'll put that in the show notes, what DVD it was. Cause I have, I've pretty much bought every lacrosse goalie book and DVD and video that exists. And so I probably have watched it myself. Very cool. So it sounds like at a very early age, like you had some sort of natural ability, whether that be like, I'm just not afraid of the ball, or I don't know, something else. I have very quick reaction time. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, I was a multi-sport athlete in high school. So I played tennis, basketball, golf, soccer, and track in high school. And my high school did not have a lacrosse team. So I only played club. But I think like tennis had an impact on just seeing the ball coming at me and then trying to get in front of it, like square up the body and stuff like that. So I also, for like mental aspect, I like take all what I've learned from golf and I put that in the goal too.
There's when it comes to like the mental game, I'm sure really any individual sport, I think, like is really mental. It really helps your mental game, like even tennis, because it's just you, right? And you make a mistake and you got no one else to look at, like you got no one else to blame, and it's just you. So and golf, I mean, the mental game of golf is huge, because it's just you know, it's not super physical in the sense of like getting tired. Even it's a physical sport, obviously, but you're not like getting tired, but like it's a lot of it of hitting those good strokes is up here. What you know, when you talk about mental game lessons that you learned from golf, like what comes to mind?
Well, I had a really good golf coach as my high school golf coach, and he always said that you're playing the course and then it's a 6-inch battle. So it's all mental. And so I had a very, bad habit of after one hole, the next hole would be bad. The next hole would be bad. So I really learned how to forget the last hole I just played and focused on the next one, the next shot mentality. And I really use that in the goal, focus on the next shot, next save.
It's exactly what it's called, the next shot mentality. It's the same thing, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's applicable to golf. It's applicable to lacrosse goalies. That's really interesting. Well, how did you do that? Like, was there, I don't know, techniques that you went through, or is just something where you just learned, all right, that's behind me, I'm just going to move on?
I kind of just used it as, I would have a bad hole in golf and I would just say, you know what, I'm going out here, it's the first hole. I would just completely forget about it. I would just not even think that it even happened that day or as ever happened. I just put it behind me and just moved on and just really forgot about it. And having that like quick forget, like really helped.
Totally follow. First hole. And it's, I was talking with a goalie the other week, and she was like, if I'm having like a bad start of the game, I just say like, well, that's my, still my warm up. Right. And then I just kind of like game hadn't even started yet. I thought that was an interesting mental approach to, you know, getting onto the next shot, but everyone's got their own ways. I played tennis in high school as well. Cause my high school didn't have a lacrosse team, nor was there many clubs, cause this was like California in the '90s. So it was just not much lacrosse there, but now my high school has a team. Now there's great clubs. Now those, like, they send kids to play all over the US. What did tennis teach you, or what did you take from tennis into your lacrosse goalie game, do you think?
So my dad was actually my tennis coach as well as my lacrosse coach. So he really taught me to just focus on the next shot. And in tennis, when you're serving, I was really bad at serving. So I'd always get frustrated with the serves. Cause if you can't get the serve in or over the net, you can't even get the play started. Mm-hmm. So I'd really struggle with that. So I would just think of, as soon as I get the serve in, I'm ready to, like, I knew that I could hit the ball and get the play going, and just serving was such a struggle. So then, like, as soon as I made that one save, or as soon as I got that serve in, I knew I was on, I knew I was ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. More mental game stuff, That's cool. I recently did this, coaching session on the hop, which in tennis is called a split step, you know, like where you kind of do a little jump and then kind of land and balance your weight. And I've noticed a lot of lacrosse goalies are doing that now as they like move around and kind of doing it as like a pre-shot move. Do you do that? Have you tried that?
I have, and I'm trying to get out of that habit because it hasn't really worked the best for me.
Interesting.
I would be set as still as possible. In a lot of like free positions, I would take a little step before. And I just found that it would just throw me off. It would just throw me off balance. Either I would get too excited, jump to the ball too early doing that step. So I'm really trying to stay still, stay steady, and really wait for that ball to come.
Interesting. All right. Fair enough. I say that with every technique is that like, you know, there's a lot of different ways to play goalie. I think it works tremendous, but if it doesn't work for you, don't use it. I mean, there's I would say like there's certain, you know, like being in an athletic stance and things like that, like are just the fundamentals, but you know, there's certain variations within that, that you can play. So interesting. All right. What would you say is your favorite part about being a goalie?
Oh, my favorite part. I love the whole game, but I think like my favorite definitely be a crease roll stuff. I had a couple of those this past season where my defender got beat and they just came around and it was nobody on the attackman. It was just me versus them. And when you make that stuff, it just feels so good. Cause it's in the back of my mind. I'm like, I know that they should have made that shot, but I took it away from you. And it just makes you feel like so good, so powerful. It just really gets me going.
I know. Isn't that a great feeling?
It is.
Yeah. The one-on-one stuff is right up there. Cause I mean, it's all the odds are in the attacker's favor. It's so easy to score in that situation. Cause just the range of motion and like, you know, this, you could throw a fake so quickly and goalies normally have to honor that. And so like, I mean, those should be scored 90% of the time. And when you can make that big save, it's such a great feeling. Crowd goes wild. Oof. All right. That's a good answer. All right. So yeah, I mean, you're playing at a young age. You got Mr. Costello teaching you the ropes and seems like all the sports. At what point did you decide like, all right, I'm going to make a run at being like the lacrosse goalie. I'm going to continue to play lacrosse in the future.
So actually my freshman year, I went to 6x6 Goalie Academy up in Holland, Michigan with Coach Giggs.
Yep.
And I really, really liked that camp. The first year I went, I kind of just went, learned a lot, got a lot of knowledge added to my goalie experience and my goalie game. And then the next year at that point I realized I wanted to be a college goalie. I was like, I heard all the stories at the camp and from that point forward, I really was going to make a run on being the goalie, being a college athlete. And from that point on, I did multiple sports to try to give myself a break from lacrosse, trying to keep my love and trying not to get burnt out from the sport. And so I would play fall. I'd train in the winter with my dad at Green Hills and then would play a little bit in the spring. And then summer was my main season to play. And so I really just grinded out during those summer tournaments and those summer practices and clinics and camps.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm good friends with Brad and Coach Brad Gigliotti, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's going to present at this upcoming goalie summit we're going to have. I don't know if I've talked to him, obviously. I don't know if I've had anyone else who's gone through his camps. Talk to me about the 6x6 camp and kind of what you learned there and what it's all about.
Yeah. So I went to the 6x6 camp as a camper for 3 years. And then I just coached the past 2 years and I'm going to coach again this summer.
Nice.
And so I really, really liked the camp. It was a 4-day camp when I first went, and it was the first year he did it. And I loved it. It was a guys and girls mixed camp. And we had so many different coaches come out and we would do these, round like robin things, and we would go to one goal, do certain drills, learn certain skills, and then go to the next one after 20 minutes or so, and then learn a different skill. And it just really helped me with my all around game and building my confidence a lot from getting so many reps and so many shots taken at me. And what was really cool is we had like a number of shooters come in to shoot on us. And so not only goalies were shooting on you with attack sticks, but actual attack men and shooters were shooting on you. So it really gave you a good feel for the game and getting as many reps in those 4 days as possible.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. That's great. So you're going to coach again at the camp this summer?
I am.
All right. All right. What dates?
It's July. I'd have to check real quick. I just posted it. It is July 25th through the 28th.
All right. There you go. If you're listening to this, we'll have to get this show out before then. if you're listening to this, hit up that camp. Highly recommend. The other thing that I like that you said there is a lot of times goalies ask me, like, what should I do in the off season to train? And 9 times out of 10, the right answer is play other sports. Right. Cause I think that you need to take a break from lacrosse, especially in the goalie position. Like sometimes you can get really burnt out. And if you keep grinding, it's really tough. And playing other sports gives you all of these other skills and keeps your athleticism and keeps you fit and just tons of the list of benefits goes on and on. And it sounds like that's the experience that you had. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I really liked it because I played on a co-ed tennis team because we didn't have a girls team at my school. So I made a ton of friends doing that sport. I played on the basketball team, made a ton of friends doing that sport. And then golf, made so many different friends there. And then my senior season, I played soccer and track, and I had never really was not really into soccer, but I ended up being the soccer goalie for my season, which unfortunately it got cut short because of COVID. But I made so many friends that I had never made before. And honestly, being a soccer goalie for the short time I was really benefited me in my lacrosse goalie experience.
How so?
So the soccer game is such a, I played indoor for a little while. So we had to slow it down and really take our time. Like once I got the ball, I had to wait for people to move up the field so then I could throw it out. And that's the opposite for lacrosse, but just getting the positioning was really similar and trying to square myself up to the shooter in soccer and then in lacrosse really made a big difference in my lacrosse game and how I like am lined up with them. Mm-hmm. So I have the best chance to make that save.
I 100% know what you mean. I didn't even realize you were talking about indoor soccer. I had said on a previous podcast that I think indoor soccer goalie and lacrosse goalie are like the most two similar goalies because it's a lot about positioning. And that's exactly what you're talking about. That's the word I use, positioning. It's like where you are in the goal. And I had never played indoor soccer goalie. And then I had a lacrosse goalie career. And then I played indoor soccer goalie. And they were like, so how long have you been playing? How long have you been playing indoor soccer goalie? I'm like, first time. Because it's the exact same. Like you got to get your positioning. You got to get your angles right. And the only thing that's a little bit, and it's like a quick reaction, but the only thing that's a little bit different is you can use your left hand to actually make the saves. Right. So I'm a righty, but if the shot's to your left, you just stick your left hand. You don't have to go across like lacrosse goalies do. So there you go. Interesting. Love it. So talk to me about your, recruiting experience. So you go to the camp, get some confidence. You're like, you're making a decision that, all right, I would love to play lacrosse at the next level. Being the athlete that you are, you probably had, some options. So I don't know if that was a tough choice for you or was that pretty easy?
I loved all the sports I played, but lacrosse was like the only one that I wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a couple camps at some colleges near me. I went to Albion camp since eighth grade. I went to that camp for like 4 or 5 years. Then I went to the Concordia camp. I went to UIndy camp And then I just emailed a bunch of coaches that I thought I would want to go, potentially go take a visit there or go to that school. And I went to the Concordia camp for probably 5 or 6 years, got a really good relationship with the coach, really liked the atmosphere that they had there. And then my junior year, I hadn't even visited this school, and it was only 20 minutes from my house. And so I talked to the coach after one of the camps I went. Next day, I went on a visit there. Absolutely loved the school. It's a beautiful campus. It's a small school. It checked off every box on my list of that I wanted in a college. And then the next day I called the coach up and I committed that next day, my junior year.
Awesome. So was this, I'm trying to think, is this before the rule change, or like right now the rule is such that they cannot contact, or maybe the NAIA is totally different. This is where we need to have a conversation, because in the NCAA, they can't, the new rule change says you can't get contacted until I think it's September 1st of your junior year. Is it different for the NAIA?
No, it is the same. I committed the summer going into my senior year.
Got it. So it was after the date.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. What was it? And let's talk about the NAIA, because I know what it is now, but I remember I was doing like a live webinar, and someone mentioned it, and I had never heard of it before. That's where I'm coming from. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are in the same boat.
So the NAI is, it's kind of I would say it's at the level of a NCAA D2 school. So we are really good athletes there. All of the people who go to my school are really high class athletes. And so it's just another option that people can have for going to school. D3, which was what I was looking at before I found Concordia, which is NCAA D3, they can't give you scholarship money. So a lot of the schools I was looking at were really expensive and couldn't give me scholarship money, but NAIA can give you scholarship money to play a sport. So that really enticed me to want to go to NAIA. And I go to a private Lutheran college. So religion was what I really wanted to in a college, and then small schools. A lot of NAIA schools are really small. So that was really what I wanted to look for. I just figured it out, found it, and I'm so happy here.
That's great. How many, Concordia Ann Arbor? Yeah. How many students?
Yeah. I think it's like 20,000. I think it's somewhere around there. Maybe like 15,000.
Yeah. I don't know. When you said small school, I was like, in my head, I'm thinking like 5,000, 6,000 kids, but all right. Yeah. That's cool.
Most of us are athletes. So,
Most of the 20,000 are athletes?
Yeah. I think it's more around 10,000. Now that I say 20,000, I think it's more around 10,000 now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But most of them are athletes. A lot of them play multiple sports. I played golf my freshman year at college too, which I had no thought of playing two sports in college. But I played golf my freshman year, and I really like playing two sports. Most of my friends in my dorm freshman year were all athletes. So I have friends on the basketball, hockey team, baseball, softball, which is really great. And I also take pictures for the athletic department there. So it was a great way to get me to socialize with a bunch of athletes at Concordia.
It's awesome. Sounds like you're so engaged, Rachel. That's amazing. I was going to ask, so I played at Cal in the MCLA like club, and we had guys on our team that I would say we had probably like 30 or 35 guys on the team. I would say like 3 or 4 of them could have played D1. They were that good. Right. And then like a lot of fall off. Then we also had guys who were just learning how to play for the very first time, including myself. But anyway, would you say it's the same at NAIA schools? Like there is talent that where one of your girls could probably play D1 if she had wanted to, but chose to play at that school.
Yeah. We have a couple of girls who, could definitely play D1. They're great athletes. They're all around athletes. And we have a couple of girls who just picked up the sport and are just learning how to play. Like we had a volleyball player who didn't really like volleyball anymore, and she just came and played lacrosse, and she was a pretty decent defender, but you know, she just started, just learned. And then we have some girls who probably could have gone D1, and they came from like California and other states and stuff like that, and came to Michigan and decided to play for NAIA, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also love how detailed your list of, I mean, you knew exactly what you wanted in a school, right? Like, you know,
yes,
religious, small school, you know, you had all your check boxes, and,
yeah,
and it sounds like you're having a great experience because of it, because of knowing exactly what you wanted. So I think that's a good lesson for young goalies, is to really, you know, spend some time thinking about where you're going to be the most successful. What other advice you'd give to the young goalies for finding a school?
Yeah, my number one school was Calvin College, which is in Grand Rapids. And that was my number one school for probably 3 years. I really wanted to go there. They checked every single box on my list, and they are D3, and it was really far from home for me. So I then looked at Concordia, and then I figured out, you know, it's only 20 minutes from home. I can be really close to home because I love my family. I love going home on the weekends and everything like that. But definitely figuring out exactly what you want. I had the best advice from the Calvin goalie, or the Calvin coach there. He said, if you break your leg, or if something really bad happens and you can't play lacrosse anymore, are you going to still be happy at that school that you go to? That was the best advice I've ever gotten. And I really use that from, even though I didn't even go to his school, I used that and figured out that I really like Concordia. And even if I couldn't play lacrosse here, I would still be happy.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. You get coaching from, or little tidbits and wisdom from anybody, you know, even if you don't end up going there. And that's interesting. 20 minutes, way too close to home for me. Way too close to home for me. So like, that's not my box. So my school was 2 hours away from my parents' home. And it was enough where I didn't feel like I had to go home at every available moment, but I still, you know, it was there, and I went home, you know, a couple times a month. So, but yeah, know what you want, know what your boxes are.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. So what else, like, how is the NAIA organized in terms of its sports? Is it like, are there divisions within the NAIA? Is there like regional conferences?
Yeah, so we're in the WAC, which is the Western Hoosier Athletic Conference, or something like that. So we play a lot of schools that are in like pretty close by. A lot of the, like, we play Lawrence Tech, Indiana Tech, a lot of schools that are really close by. And then there's a couple other conferences, like there's like, I think it's like the Mid-South Conference, which has like Kaiser and a bunch of other schools down there. And then sometimes we'll play other teams out of our conference, but in the NAIA. Mm-hmm. And then we, last year, my freshman year, we played a D2 team. I can't remember the name of it, but we played a D2 team just as like an exhibition. Mm-hmm. This past year, we ended up playing Calvin as just an exhibition game. So we do play some other NCAA schools that are close to us, but typically we're playing schools in the WAC.
Yep. And then is it like structured just like NCAA, where you'll have like a conference tournament and a national championship tournament?
Yeah, pretty much. We last year we were actually conference champions, which was really cool. I have my conference champion ring over there. But
you got a ring?
Yes.
I do. All right, go get it. Go get it right over there. Go get it. Let's check it out.
This is my ring.
Oh man, that's beautiful. That's amazing.
Got my name on it and everything.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we won.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We were WAC champions last year. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you go to a tournament for the WAC. So whoever wins the WAC will go to the tournament, whoever wins the WAC tournament will go to the national tournament.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we did not get a bid to the national tournament last year. But so they do that. And then, Yeah, so it's pretty similar.
Got it. Yeah, so it sounds like it's pretty similar. I don't know if there's other things we need to talk about the NAIA. I feel like I've got it. What does it stand for, by the way?
I'd have to look that up.
yeah, we're gonna have to look that up. I'm gonna go with National Athletics Interscholastic Association. Sounds about right, huh?
So, National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics.
I was close. National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. Awesome. I don't know. Any other details? I feel like that was a pretty good summary for goalies who, I mean, sounds like a tremendous option. You know, you've got D1, you've got D2, you've got D3, you've got MCLA. And you've got this whole other NAIA series of schools that could be a great option. And the scholarship money too is a interesting element to consider, because I know D1s have scholarships, but like, even if you go D1, I think they have like 14 scholarships available or something like that for 40 kids, right? So you're not getting full aid. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's interesting. And D2, D3, and then MCLA pretty much like don't have scholarships, or maybe D2 does. I don't know.
I know D2 does. I know D3 doesn't.
Right. So cool. Any other, I don't know, little tidbits or details or stories you want to share about the NAIA?
I think we've covered a pretty decent amount of NAIA.
All right. Sounds good. When we talk about your lacrosse goalie game, your style, what comes to mind for you? When I look at pictures of you, it seems like you're a pretty tall girl.
Yes, I am 6 foot.
Yeah, 6 foot. Tall is the goal. I love it. So how do you describe your style?
I look to a lot of the pros when I play. So before games, I'll watch Timmy Troutner, I'll watch Jack and Cannon, I'll watch videos of their playing styles. And I really like watching the pros play and then trying to like figure out my own style of play. So I have a pretty wide stance being so tall in the goal. And then I keep my hands pretty to the right side of me. And I just recently I've been tilting my front hand a little bit more forward when I'm in the goal. I've really liked doing that recently. It's worked out for me. For my last game, I ended up making 21 saves, and so it really worked out trying that new technique. And so I kind of been sticking with it since then.
Yeah, interesting. What do you like about it? Or it just feels good.
It just feels good. It just feels like natural. Like when you get in your goalie stance, you're kind of feeling it, and you're like, okay, this feels right. This feels right. And I had a bit of a happy feet this season. So I was really on my toes a lot this season and falling forward, and then kind of did the drill that Giggs taught me at the camp, where you go on your toes, you go on your heels, and then you meet in the middle and you're right on the balls of your feet. And that is like the perfect goalie stance. And so I did that a couple times this season to get back to where I was, and that helped me a lot.
Yeah, I love it. So just as like a visual for, if you're watching on YouTube, like a lot of, I'm gonna grab my stick. A lot of the, like a lot of goalies set up with their stick sort of, you know, what's this like perfect straight up and down, right? Like if you're back like this, I would say that's not good. But a lot of goalies then like, and what we're talking about here is lean it forward. And I could say, I've seen that combat an issue where a lot of goalies like bring their hand in on the shot, which is a very natural thing to do because someone's about ready to like throw a rock at you or punch you in the face. And your natural reaction is to kind of come in. And so it kind of combats that. And maybe like, if you come in a little bit, then you're still in really good positioning when the shot comes. But I've seen a lot of goalies do that. I never did, but I've seen a lot of goalies do that.
I kind of like meet in the middle. So I'm not super far out, but I'm not behind where I can hit my head. I kind of like meet in the middle and just am a little bit forward. And so I can go more forward when I go make the save. And so it kind of gets my brain set to having it a little bit forward, saying when you're saving, you're going forward even more.
Mm-hmm. What does your training regimen look like at Concordia, goalie training regimen?
So we have practices every day during season. We do fall ball as well. We also have a strength and conditioning coach that comes in once or twice a week. So we do strength and conditioning drills with him. Sometimes we'll go to his gym and do more strength and conditioning with his equipment that he has. But it's I would say it's pretty much like any other normal college athlete. We definitely don't lift weights as much as D1 athletes do, which a lot of us do it on our own time. We will go to the gym on our own time and stuff like that, but we're more of we focus on a lot of speed and a lot of footwork drills, and then a lot of like injury prevention training as well that our strength and conditioning coach works with us for.
Speed and footwork drills and injury prevention. Awesome. What do you guys do for speed, for example?
We've done ladders a couple times. We do a lot of hurdles. Like he has these little plastic hurdles that will run over, or we'll do it sideways as well as passing while we're doing that. So it's kind of a multitasking where you're moving your feet up and down and then also passing back and forth with each other. And then we'll do a couple side drills where you have to go touch the box and then dart this way and then go and shoot. Or we have the lights that he has the string of lights that you have to tap with your stick and go back and forth.
Oh yeah. Interesting. Are those are the ones that kind of like, they're like little pods and they light up and you tap them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're called Blaze Pods, or maybe it's another brand, but yeah, those are really cool. They're really expensive. So I don't recommend them that much unless you want to spend $400, but they're really cool, training tool. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. Would you say that, you know, as you got into college and started playing, higher level, would you say your goalie game has changed? I mean, we talked a little bit about the technique of what you're doing a little bit new right now, but anything else come to mind?
I would say that I really, as of right now, Concordia has not had a goalie coach for the past 2 years, which has been kind of unfortunate, but it's a smaller school, don't have a lot of money, stuff like that. But I really took it upon myself when I had a freshman goalie come in last year. So I'm a sophomore, or just finished my sophomore year, had a freshman goalie last year. And I thought that I became a better goalie by coaching her, which was really beneficial for me because, I mean, I've coached goalies a couple of years at Giggs's camp, and really helping her come in as a freshman and really grasp the college game really helped me as a goalie, and just help, we both really helped each other. Kind of, we would sit behind each other's net while each of us was in, and I would say, you got to step this way, or she would say, your angle was off on that one. And so really both of us coming together really helped other's goalie game really change. I think mainly I kind of don't come out of the net as much in the college game as I did in high school. I really played out, and I really would try to pick off a lot of passes in high school because I was so tall. I could get those passes from behind the net, but the college game, all the girls are so much smarter and know to not pass it from there. So I don't see that as often. So I really try to stay home on my post when the ball's behind the net or stuff like that, so I'm ready for the shot rather than the pickoff.
Yeah. Going back to that point of coaching each other, I think it's just such a tremendous point. And something I've talked about quite a bit. It's like, it's very hard to coach yourself. It's extremely hard to coach yourself. I mean, whether we're talking about like technique or whether we're talking about like a mental game lesson, it is almost impossible to coach yourself. But as soon as you tell a goalie, all right, imagine another goalie's going through that problem. Like, what would you tell him? Then all of a sudden, like the answers start flowing. They start coming out because it's so much easier to coach somebody else. But the thing is, when you coach somebody else, you know who you're coaching yourself as well. And it sounds like that's the experience you had, right?
Yeah, that was exactly the experience I had.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And the other thing I like too is, sometimes you can get goalies and they have relationships where like, oh, I'm the older goalie. Like, I know more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to listen to what that goalie says, but that's not, that wasn't your case. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And so I appreciate that. Like, you know, having that level of, I don't know what the right word is, humbleness, I guess, being humble and be like, yeah, I can learn from anybody. Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was really beneficial for both of us to come in, and I took advice that she would give me, and she really took the advice that I gave her, and just having that openness and that open communication was really beneficial for my season. And I'm sure for her freshman season as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Have you ever, in your career, have you been a backup goalie? And if so, like, how, you know, how was that experience for you? A lot of goalies, you know, they struggle in that situation because it's tough. There's only one of us, one goalie that plays, you know, and it's easy to get down on yourself and get discouraged. I'm curious how you handled it.
Yeah. I was the backup goalie my whole freshman year. There was a senior goalie in front of me. So we didn't have as well of communication as I do with this goalie, but so I still took a lot away from what she had coached me. And being the senior goalie, she played every game. I played the bad games. I played the games that we were up by 10 or 20. And I know that it's great that I was able to get into the game as a freshman, but it's also really discouraging when you're put into that 20-0 game or the 15-0 game. It's really discouraging to be put in. I know it's great to be put in, but it's really discouraging having that experience. But just every practice, every warm-up, I would just treat it like I was the goalie. I just had that mental game of if she gets hurt or if something happens or if she can't come to the game or if what happens, I'm next. I was the next goalie in. So just keeping that positive attitude and just always wanting to get better and always wanting to work for something and work to get better was always constant in my mind.
Mm, yeah. I love that. Yeah. You always got to be ready. And a lot of times, you know, you'll see like backup goalies, especially more at the youth level, or like the lower, like maybe high school, for example. And like, they're just goofing around on the sidelines and it's not like, that's not where we're at. Right. Like you got to be mentally ready to go in the game at every single moment. Cause it can happen in the blink of an eye, you know, like slashing penalty, injury, heaven forbid. And you're up and that's your opportunity. Right. And you might only get that one opportunity.
Yeah.
To show yourself and do you take advantage of it or right. Do you look horrible? And then you're right back to, you know, to that backup position. So, all right. That's great advice. We talked a little bit about the mental game already, just in terms of that next shot mentality that you learned in tennis and in golf. When I talk about the mental game, are there any other lessons that come to mind for you?
Yeah, well, Giggs just started the Goalies Matter Foundation. So I really back that. He has like all that forums and everything on there. So whenever I'm really struggling in net, either if I felt like I had a bad game or if I felt like I had a bad practice, I would always, I looked on there to seek some advice and seek some tricks and tips that I could do myself. And I just figured out like just going back and watching film was really beneficial for me because I would write down everything that I either did right or I did wrong. And I would end up having two lists of things I did right and I did really well and things I needed to work on in the next practice. But I always thought of not things that I did wrong. I always thought they were things that I needed to work on and I can always get better at them.
Hmm. I love that. What would be an example of something that's on that list?
So I'm really bad with my angles. I always either hug a pipe sometimes. And I mean, we're all naturally afraid of the ball, you know, even goalies get afraid of the ball sometimes. And so I would hide and be really close to my post. And so, either I would figure it out or my backup goalie would figure it out. And I would try to get back on my angles or there'd be times where I would, sometimes I'll stick my leg out on a save. And so I don't make the greatest save technique, that I want to make. And so I'll register that and I'll ask for another shot in that same spot. And then I'll really focus on doing the proper save technique for those. Trying to think of what else.
Well, those are good. Those are two really good ones. Those are two really good ones. Cause a lot of times in the film, you can even see like specific scenarios that led to me being at a bad angle. Like maybe they started up top and they drove down the alley to the right. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, that's the scenario where I'm having trouble keeping the right. So let me just replicate that exact scenario in the game.
Yes.
Maybe they threw it from X and then there was a pass. And anyway, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it is the same scenario each time that kind of gets you out of position. And then what was the other one? Oh yeah. Just like a specific technique, specific type of shot. That's a really good one. Are you, Rachel, would you call yourself a leader of the team?
I think I'm the leader of the defensive end for sure. I really talk to my defenders after every goal, and I'll go up to them after every goal we make. And I'll say, you know, that started with us, or, you know, like we got this, or like really trying to keep my defenders at a level head. Cause they do the same for me. You know, once I get scored on, they're coming up to me saying, you know what, that's my fault, or you got the next one, or what have you. But I definitely feel like I have a voice on the team, even if I'm not a captain or anything like that, don't have that title. But being the goalie, I'm yelling constantly on the field. I'm yelling at my defenders, or if there's a cutter, or if there's a slide, or what have you. But not only during the plays that I'm calling out, telling them where the ball is or what to do, after plays and during practices, I'm telling them what I see, because I'm seeing everything from where my perspective is. So definitely good communication with your defenders and your attackmen is really beneficial.
100% agree. Yeah, 100% agree with that. What would you say to a young girl who struggles with with communication, or she feels like her team's not listening to her?
I definitely have been in that boat. My club team sometimes wouldn't listen to me. But just kind of being out there, not so much talking like a coach. I know that I got really frustrated with some of my teammates who thought they were a coach or spoke to us like we were a coach, but we're all there playing the same sport, trying to get better. And if you're able to take advice from an attackman who shoots on goalies all day, and they're able to take advice from a goalie who sees the shots from an attackman all day, that relationship can work really well. And honestly, if you start just by having that one-on-one relationship with either an attackman or a defender or a middie, you know, it can spread so fast. And then you can have really good communication with your whole team, but just that one-on-one can really help.
Yeah. I mean, team building goes a long way in terms of communicating, right? Because it's just this level of respect and friendship that's the base, and then you're playing on top of that, which is great. Well, cool. Well, Rachel, thank you for coming on and sharing your story. What do you go with in the stick setup? Do you know?
I have a East Coast Dyes shaft. Yeah. I have a String King head, String King mesh, and everything else.
The Mark II G. You like that head?
Yes, I love it.
What do you like about it?
So I used to have the Warrior Void Nas was my goalie head from fourth grade till college.
Yeah.
So I had that forever, and there was no goalie head that was the same shape. All of the STX ones have that like curve on the head that I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So the String King goalie one doesn't have that. And I really like that stick.
Yeah. The String King, like I got my XTX Eclipse too. I don't have my String King head here, but you could see it kind of like curves to the back. It's like offset back. And the String King one is sort of like offset forward, which is definitely a different feel. I know a lot of goalies like that. Some goalies don't, but
I like it.
Yeah. There you go. Well, awesome. If somebody comes to Michigan, what kind of food do they have to, check out?
Oh, definitely Hopcat in Ann Arbor.
Hopcat in Ann Arbor. What do they got?
Hopcat in Ann Arbor. They got burgers and fries, but they have these like really good fries with this cheese sauce.
Yeah.
So good.
All right. What's the most Michigan thing you can say in your Michigan accent?
What's the most Michigan thing I can say? Oh, I think I say "ope" a lot if I'm like in someone's way. Ope, you know, then yeah. You gotta sneak on past them.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. I've never said "ope." No, never said "ope."
Ope.
I like it though. I like it. Well, that seems like something you could work into your trash talking game. Like after you make like a one-on-one save, you could just be like, "Ope." Very cool. Rachel, if people want to learn a little bit more about you, where should they go?
Oh, well, I have an Instagram, which is Rachel Costello 0. I also have a photography Instagram account, which is RC Digital Productions. So they can check me out there.
Yeah, I'll check out both those. I'll link up to this when it comes out. And I'm just kind of looking at some of the photography now. Yeah, just tons of Concordia sports photography.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Well, good luck this summer, Rachel. Good luck in the, I guess you got 2 years left at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
At Concordia. Good luck in those seasons.
Thank you.
And if you had to leave the kids out there with one final piece of advice, what would that be?
Just always keep the stick in your hand. Keep playing. Keep loving the sport.
Very well said. Rachel, thank you.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Rachel Costello, goalie out of the NAIA. We talk about in that conversation what made it such a great fit. Great alternative if you wanted to continue to play lacrosse at the next level. If you've made it this far in the episode, I'm going to say the answer is yes. It's an amazing experience. I played in the MCLA and had a tremendous experience, tremendous lacrosse experience. Wouldn't change it for the world. That'll do it this week. Hope you learned a thing or two from Rachel. You can still grab the Lacrosse Goalie Summit replays. Amazing training, including Coach Brad Giggs, 6x6 Goalie Academy and founder of Goalies Matter. We talk about mental health tactics and tricks that goalies can use. Great presentation from Brad. LaxGoalieRat.com/VIP to grab lifetime access to that. You can download to your phone. Watch them in the car on the way to practice. It's amazing stuff. All right. That'll do it this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.